Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series and this Crossing the Exile Series, where we listen to our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady explain how valuable, how intensively purposeful each and every day is, each moment of every day, as we gather and journey along this gift of the divine will. And again, I think he helps to focus our attention, not just on the end game. Of course, that's where we want to be. We want to get to the end, to go back to the purpose and the place where God had created Adam and Eve and go back to that. But, you know, God is saying that during the journey, which it's so easy to either lose sight of the end game and or be distracted by things around you. And he says, just don't let that happen. Every day is a gift. Every day is a treasure. And I love the quote from Ronald Reagan, who stated, quote, there is no limit to the amount of good you can do if you don't care who gets the credit, end quote. I think that's great. We're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer, and our prayer is going to be a supplication. The supplication today is going to be a small passage, small two lines from Volume 30 in the Book of Heaven. This is January 17th, 1932. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Are the many knowledges of my will perhaps not remedies? Our Lord states, each manifestation and word that I speak is a fortress that I place around the weakness of the human will. It is a food that I prepare. It is a bait, a taste, a light to make them reacquire the lost sight. Therefore, be attentive and do not lose anything of what my will manifests to you, because in due time, everything will be needed. Nothing will go lost. End quote. And this we pray, obviously, to our blessed Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I'm going to bring Maureen in. I saw her a moment ago. And let me just get that up right now.
Hi, Maureen. Peter. I'm here. Hi, everybody.
How's everything?
Oh, it's crazy.
It's been a very interesting week, and
yeah.
I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I have to spend maybe 2 minutes on it. Everyone, I think, has heard about, you know, this whole thing, and you know, it happened suddenly. It happened, yes, spontaneously, but it's sort of been churning along for quite a bit. And you know, we try to do the best we can. We try to identify, you know, how we can do things better. And hopefully we put that into practice. But I think, you know, I'm hearing this and I'm hearing that, and I'm hearing some inconsistencies, some inaccuracies, because I know what happened. I was right in the midst of it. And I know also what happened in 2017 with Father Iannese, with the same letter that caused a whole firestorm of problems that took weeks, if not months, to reconcile it. Father asked me to get involved, and we were writing to dioceses, and we were writing to spiritual directors, and doing all this stuff just to get the air clear. Because again, I think Mark Twain is credited for this quote. He said, "A lie will travel halfway around the world before truth puts his boots on," and it's really so true. I mean, how do you? I mean, you take a feather pillow and you go on the top of the Empire State Building, and you let all the feathers go, and you say, "Well, it's great," and then you say, "Wait a minute. I should have done that. I've got to go collect all those feathers." How can you do it? It's impossible. There's no way you can get them all. Just like when you hear something and someone tells someone, and that someone tells someone else, how are you going to be able to reel all that in? You just can't. That's why, you know, innuendos, scandalous comments, improper teachings, all these things have devastating effects, because they're not easily doused. Not because no one wants them to be doused, but it's just very difficult sometimes to see the fire. It's sort of like seeing this big pile of ashes and trying to guess, you know, where is it still smoldering? Where is there still a little bit of fire? Where is there danger? And you don't really know. So I may have to put out a brief statement on that. But I'd rather not, but I think I sort of have to. What do you think, Maureen?
Oh, well, you know, we're getting distracted from, yeah. I mean, Peter and Paul fought. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the part of, just to remind us that we're all human, and I think we should spend not too much time on it and keep moving forward. I mean, for the, like the little people like us, we're, you know, let the heads talk and all that. And we just have to keep moving, because we're important in this battle. And we don't have to know everything, I don't think. Maybe some people do, but all I just have to know in my life, in the divine will, and am I trying to live it? And I think most people are like that. I'm hoping most people are like that. I mean, and Jesus says in the volume somewhere, don't investigate everything. In other words,
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, just let's just keep
It's
moving.
futile.
Like,
It's absolutely futile.
We could be like investigating, I mean, forever. And
Right.
we're old red legs is like, oh, this is just what I wanted. Look, they're falling right into my trap. So
Yeah.
I think we just have to keep moving forward. I don't think we
No,
should.
I agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I
I
love
mean,
that.
you're in a very difficult situation where you are, but we're not. So for
Well,
everybody who's not Peter and not up there and having to work this thing out, I would say for us, just keep moving, just keep doing what you're doing, you know?
If it's any consolation or not a consolation, I can tell you this from my venue, from my small little seat here, sitting down low, I see a lot of stuff from all over.
You do.
And I have to say, please, everyone, God is really counting on you to work this gift, to have confidence and trust in Him.
That's right.
And he's looking for the small people. Remember, I'm saying that because if you really knew how bad it is, it would almost be ready to say, I give up.
Well, you know what? It's a sign that we're right over the mark. And like
Absolutely.
I always say, look at the Last Supper. How bad could it get? You know what I mean? Like it's a
Absolutely.
sign. This is truth. This is ruining the kingdom of the evil one. And he's upset. So we just keep doing what we're doing. And
It's a logical conclusion to be experiencing this because this
yes.
is everything, and everybody knows it, and nobody's going to deny that. And the other side highly knows that as well. And something that I'd like to just, again, without going into detail, without clarifying, without doing anything, I'd like to just, I'd like to bring hopeful suggestions. I'd like to bring uplifting passages, and one that I think we should all, I mean, we've heard things like, you can't speak about the divine will unless you're a priest, or you can't do this, you can't even have a cenacle unless you have a priest. All that's really untrue. Jesus, or actually the Archbishop Bacieri, just said he advises that everyone have some priest to bounce off any theological questions that they may have when and if they arise. Again, that has nothing really to do specifically with the divine will. That means we can gather, we can journey. And again, he said all of this. He says he doesn't want to damper anyone's enthusiasm. But again, we have to be very careful, like Jesus states to Luis and to us, be very careful when you speak about my divine will. And that makes me shudder at times because we speak about it, but just be careful. And if we do misspeak, which is a high likely and probability when you're talking a lot, you need to come back and just say, what I said was in error. Please disregard that. I recant that. I retract that. And I'm sorry for that. And that's all that would have put everything back. I couldn't say put back in normal because it definitely would not, but it would put it back into a less worse of a place than we are right now. And the one passage I'd like to just quote from is volume 12, January 24th. 1921. This is so very important. Again, not to bounce our chest and to beat ourselves on the back and say, hey, we're nobody. But this is what Jesus says to Luis and to us. He says, quote, know that the third fiat shall come from you, shall germinate through you, Luisa. The error of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Now that's already happened. St. Hannibal was the priest that had knowledge of it. So he's the first. He's actually the first apostle, first disciple of the divine will. Jesus actually calls him that. Okay, so it says, first, only the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then a few souls. Jesus doesn't say, then a few more priests. Yeah, there'll be other priests. He says, then a few more souls. So if you feel encouraged, if you feel motivated to share the divine will, to mention what it means to you, to discuss it, then you ought to. How else is this going to be spread? First, it'll start with you, the priest, then a few souls, and then it shall spread, and it shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. Again, if this was only for the priest, I believe Jesus would not have come to Louisa. Okay, the priests are vital. They must. The Pope must, will embrace eventually. But we cannot, we don't have to wait for the Pope. The Pope doesn't say yes, and then we all jump in. We don't have to. This gift is available right now to each and every one of us. And when we talk about, is it here? Yeah, it's here. Jesus tells us it's here. To what extent? We don't have to worry about that. Like Maureen said, we just keep trotting forward, moving ahead. You know, and it's really interesting too, because Father Inuzzi had a really great program on Radio Maria way back in 2021 or so. And he was talking about reading from volume 19, where, again, it accentuates the fact that this divine will, this gift of divine will does not, it's not predicated on how long you've been in it. It's not predicated on how many times you've read the 36 volumes. Again, all this is good. It's not predicated on how much you necessarily know at the time. It's predicated on what is your desire? Do you have an upright intention? And are you in the state of grace? And all three of those are very easy to acquire. It doesn't take much, and we can all do it individually with the grace of God. Then God is going to speak to each and every one of us specifically. Our true teachers are our blessed Lord and our blessed Lady. But we have some really, really good cheerleaders. I'm not including me in that category to help us understand the importance of this gift. To understand the gift, it has to come and resonate through our blessed Lord and our blessed Lady. So with that being said, just keep the faith. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, God, when God closes one door, he opens up several
others. Absolutely.
I would just say, I would just say, again, as long as we didn't hopefully anticipate this, we didn't wish for this, we weren't hoping for this, this was not our intention. But if God has drawn us, remember, God's permissive will is so mysterious. And what appears to be negative, he will only allow to happen unless he's going to bring about a greater good. And we can look at that, look at our lives, look at the worst situation we had in our lives, and we said, oh, well, that's terrible. But if God didn't allow that situation to happen, would we have made whatever corrections we made? Would we be here now? And the answer is probably unequivocally no. All that had to happen. So this probably had to happen also. It's not over. It's messy. But again, like Maureen said, Maureen, this is great advice. It really has nothing to do with us.
It doesn't. It
has nothing to do with the divine will.
Mm-mm.
And that's, again, I'm not being cavalier about that, but I'm just saying we have nothing to worry about. In fact, we have now probably more motivation to say, okay, our Lord is taking some people out of the game. That means the few players that are left have to step up the game, have to, you know, increase their velocity, have to do better if they can.
I think, like, when things happen like this, we have to remember God is in control. I mean, that's the main thing. God is in control. This is all divine will, what's happening. It's divine will. I mean, everything is divine will, isn't it? So I think we can't ask too many questions and be too curious. What we need to do is be in the divine will. And every minute that we're reading gossip or we're doing this, whatever, we could have been doing our hacks and rounds. I mean, God's depending on us to bring down the kingdom. This is a pretty big job. I mean, it's, you know, and that's the most important thing right now. None of this other stuff is as important as that. So don't get sidetracked. Everybody's busy. We're trying to get, you know, we're trying to learn the divine will.
Yeah,
we're coming
true.
To here. We're going to our cenacles. We're that just keep that going.
Yeah.
And when things happen, like I said to you, Peter, you just flick it off your shoulder. Or
right,
like, who
well.
Was it? The one saint woke up and Satan was setting his bed on fire. And he said, oh, it's only you. That's our motto. It's, oh, it's only you. Oh, okay. I got work to do. Excuse me.
Well, I kind of thank God for my sort of dimness, and I think it's through my dimness that this really doesn't affect me. I'm sad. I'm not angry at anyone. I'm just really sad. But again, I've been seeing this for how many years, and it continues. It's getting better in some corners, and other corners it's not. You know, it reminds me of, and before I don't want to spend any more time, but it reminds you, like, picture this, just envision this. Adam and Eve and all of us fell from grace. It's as if we were thrown into this ocean and we sank to the bottom. Now God, he suspended everything. Now God is giving us this opportunity to surface, to rise again. He's giving us the grace. He's giving us the air in which to do just to get to the surface so we can begin again. And as we come together, if we all do it in unison, we're forming a beautiful current that's going to keep us all together and all rising at the same pace and all coming faster to the surface, because we're using sort of like the water inertia. But then picture what would happen if, as we're climbing to the surface, we're trying to move ourselves closer to the surface by pressing down on others' heads, causing them to go deeper down into the water, making their job more difficult. Again, I'm not insinuating that this is what's happening. But that's the analogy that draws in my mind. We cannot strive to get to the surface by pushing off other people's heads and bodies to get there. We must do it together. And if we do it together, God will take the whole group, anyone who wants to the surface, and we begin again. And again, this opportunity is here. Yeah, we don't have to wait. And that's just beautiful. So there's again, no more looking back, no more going back to yesterday, but we can enjoy today. So again, do not, I tell you, do not lose faith, because there's a lot of good stuff happening, but there's a lot of bad stuff that's been sort of murking. And, you know, the longer you keep that, that old food in the refrigerator, more likely it's going to grow some mold. So I just want to just move that.
And it, you know, it might not be the last one either. I mean, this is true. The greatest gift God ever. I mean, there's going to be attacks from now on. I mean, I'm surprised it took this long. There's another priest that's saying stuff. You know, there's all kinds of stuff happening. So we said, I got work to do. You know,
but you know what? But Jesus told us stuff too. He said, you know, opposition. He says, don't worry about opposition.
Right.
He says, opposition must occur. In fact, he says, because again, if it would be disingenuous to my own humanity. I was opposed.
That's right.
God Almighty's opposed. I mean, you're going to be opposed, and so is his gift. So fear not. Our Lord is with us. He will not leave us. And this is going to come. Going to come. And he just wants those who are journeying right now to hang in there.
Trust.
It is trust. And again, upright intention and constancy. Just keep doing as much as it becomes onerous at times, as we get fatigued at times, as we get disillusioned at times, we just have to keep remaining steadfast. But what also makes us really happy is when we're talking about this crossing the exile, we recognize that, yes, God wants us to go back to the order, the place, and the purpose. That we know that. But now he's explained to us how vitally important it is every single day, every single moment of this gift. Because again, it's not just for us. This is first and above all, it's for God. It's the glory. That's what God wants. It's for the glory of God. Okay. We're doing it for the glory of God. And we're doing it for all of our brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what we're doing. And we're doing that humbly. We're not doing that boastfully. But again, we're following God's cue, and we're also working on whatever gifts and talents he's given us, whatever grace he's given us. We're all getting grace. And we're all getting basically the same grace. And just some of us are using different graces. And that's good. We all can't do the same thing. So we're all part of this huge puzzle. And I think it's all going to come together very, very shortly. But what's really motivating, Maureen, if we can read this second half of this volume 17, October 23rd, 1924, which really, I think, intensifies the urgency of the situation, that God is giving us this absolute privilege, this gift. And again, it's only a gift. There's nothing that we've merited. But once the gift is given, that's when our work begins. And then the divine will be given to us commensurate on our desire and our effort. You know, it's not just thinking about it. It's not just the intention, although the intention is very important. And we realize that. And Jesus tells us the intention is much more important than previously noted in past centuries. But he says it's very, very vital. But you have to put your part in. Do what you can. I know you can't do much, he says, basically. Do what you can, and I'll do the rest. And that's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And Jesus again, my daughter, you do not know what my will on earth is. It shows that after so many of my lessons, you have not understood well. You must know that the soul who here lets my will live within her, as she prays, as she suffers, as she works, as she loves, etc., forms a sweet enchantment to the divine pupils, in such a way as to enclose with her acts the gaze of God in that enchantment. And so, the Omnipotent One, taken by the sweetness of this enchantment, feels disarmed of many chastisements which the creatures draw upon themselves with their grave sins. This enchantment has the virtue of preventing my justice from pouring out with all its fury upon the face of the earth, because my justice too remains enchanted by my will operating in the creature. Do you think it is trivial that the Creator sees in the creatures who are still living upon earth his divine will operating, triumphant, ruling, with the same freedom with which it operates and rules in heaven? However, this enchantment in heaven is opposite, because my will dominates in its kingdom as if in its own house, and the enchantment is formed within myself, not outside of me. Therefore, it is my will that enchants all the blessed with an enrapturing power, in such a way that their pupils are enclosed in my enchantment to be eternally beatified. So it is not they who form the sweet enchantment for me, but I for them. And so my pupils are free and receive no charm. On the other hand, my will, living in the creature who was crossing the exile, is as though operative and ruling in the house of the creature, which is more amazing. And this is why she forms for me a more pleasing enchantment, which charms me and holds such attraction for my gaze as to captivate me to fix my pupils upon her without being able to move them. Oh, you do not know how necessary this enchantment is in these times in which so many evils will come. The peoples will be forced to eat one another. They will be taken by such rage as to become fierce one against the other. But the greatest guilt is of the leaders. Poor peoples. They have true slaughterers, incarnate devils as leaders who want to slaughter their brothers. If the evils were not grave, your Jesus would not leave you as though deprived of him. You fear that it may be for other things that I deprive you of me. No, no, be reassured. It is my justice that, depriving you of me, wants to pour out upon creatures. You, however, never go out of my will, so that its sweet enchantment may spare the people's worst evils. So that's our job, Peter, right now. That's our job.
And sweet if we look at the analogy of that, Maureen, which we have many, many times, almost an nauseum, Jesus explained exactly where we are. It's like again, the parents raising children. You know, you place them in a position where you want to make them the best Catholics that they can so that you can help usher them into heaven, and you have them pray the rosary, you have them say grace before meals, you have them go to Sunday Mass, and all that is pleasing to the extent that they're being obedient to your wishes. But now when those same small children become adults and they're out on their own, they have their own house, and then when you go visit their house, you notice that they are saying grace, they are praying the rosary, and they're going to Mass. All of what you taught is now being put into action. That's where the pleasure is. And that's what I think Jesus is explaining here in exile. If we can do all this that the blessed in heaven are doing, because he's giving us the opportunity on earth with all these obstacles, all these pitfalls, all these hailstorms, he's more pleased because, again, we're doing it with great opposition. And again, he says he cannot take his gaze off us. And again, this is serious. And I think you put it right to where it needs to be. This is our job. And nobody can stop this. Nobody can cancel this. That's the beautiful thing. The only one that can stop this for us is us. And if we say, I'm not going to stop this, I'm going to work as hard as I can. I'm not going to forego my other responsibilities. Jesus knows what he's given us and what he hasn't. And we're thankful. We're thankful for what we have and very thankful for what we don't have. Because perhaps what we don't have is what we don't need. And that's what's so beautiful. It's all here. Like you said, Maria, it's all here. And that's what's so gorgeous about this. And it's, again, we're on this journey. We're doing it collectively, yes, but this is an individual journey. It's really an individual journey. I can only grow as far as I can grow. And yes, I can receive encouragement around me, but I can only do what I can do. So we have to grow individually, and we do that collectively. Again, not pushing down on heads, helping each of us rise into that jet stream so we can all get to the surface. Maybe not at the same time, but still assisting each other. It's easy, but again, that human will is so fickle that it makes things difficult. And again, It may not be even intentionally. Remember what Our Lady of Fatima said, there'll come a great diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. So we say, forgive them, Lord. They don't know what they do. And we pray. That's all we do. But that's great. I love that. I love that that passage. I think it quantifies everything about this gift. I've got a little bit here, Maureen, that I just highlighted and read from last week. And if we can maybe just push through that, I promise you, we will get to new material today. And again, we're using for this series Volume 2, because in essence, Volume 2 is really Volume 1. God's giving us the index, basically. He's giving us the list of what we need to pack metaphorically for this journey. And he's giving us everything, what we need to pack, and actually how to use it along the journey. And again, if we listen to this, I think it's so much easier than doing it after we start our journey or after we're halfway completed. Again, this is stuff that we need. This is stuff that he's given to us. And again, Volume 2 is Volume 1, really, but it's Volume 2. But again, it's a litmus test of what we need to take account for and then make sure that we've packed sort of in our bag. Okay, so 3:6. Okay, this was so we were talking about wanting to make, Jesus wants to make an object of his satisfactions. He wants to make Luis and wants to make us. We can just read these two areas here with the red. This is what we read last week, but I think it really brings up everything into the new material, and I think it'll just continue where we left off.
While I was in this state, so sorrowful, Jesus came, and all compassion told me, I have come now. Do not cry anymore. Come to me. In one instant, I found myself outside of myself, together with him. And I looked at him, but with such fear that I might lose him again, that tears would pour in large streams from my eyes. Jesus continued, No, do not cry anymore. Take a look at how I am suffering. Look at my head. The thorns have penetrated so deep that they no longer show outside. Do you see how many gashes and blood cover my body? Come close to me. Give me a refreshment.
And, you know, really quick here, Maureen, I didn't mean to stop, but we can just superimpose here instead of no, do not cry anymore. No, do not fight anymore. Mm. No, do not quabble anymore. Mm-hmm. We can just say that. And we pray that.
Yeah. I have also entered a moral, spiritual state in which I seem to see and to feel the diabolical operations of the infernal enemy. Discouragements and oppressions assail me day and night. I feel within me, in my interior, abandonments, desolations, and profound preoccupations. In sum, an interior state of such anguish and suffering, which I have never before experienced. All the miseries of my life, the responsibilities, my sins, my priestly obligations, etc., come before me, and all this with an internal depression. I feel my heart and soul as though under the press. Like Hannibal, Padre Pio of Petrachina emphasizes the value of Jesus's internal sorrows. I try in the apex of my spirit to be resigned, to offer my fiat, although I experience no spiritual solace, but may his will be done. I repeat continually, and I long for nothing else but the perfect fulfillment of his will in the precise manner he demands, generously and firmly. How many times, said Jesus to me a little while ago, would you not have abandoned me if I had not crucified you? Beneath the cross, one learns to love, and I do not grant this to everyone, but only to those souls who are dearest to me.
I think that those are two important comments by quotes by St. Padre Pio and St. Hannibal. And I think one thing we can remember from that is that priests have bullseyes on their backs. So, you know, they're going to be the subject of the attacks with all vigor from the other side. So, and that's why it's so important to pray for them. And and forgive them, really. Again,
Oh, yeah.
we don't ignore, we don't follow ill advice. We have to be courageous and sometimes approaching if there's something wrong, but doing it gently and doing it, no, gently is not the word, doing it lovingly, doing it in charity. Lord says, you know, there's going to be things wrong. You know, approach the person first. If that doesn't work, then go to the superior. If that doesn't work. You know, there's a chainless. There's a process sort of for that. But yeah, again, this is, we're all going to be under attack for this particular, and Satan knows our weaknesses. So just think about your weaknesses. I think about mine, and just be on super guard for that because God knows where you may be the weakest. And that's, I think that's good admonition. To recognize it. Anything else, Maureen?
Well, they're kind of standing in the breach, and then we'll be standing in the breach. So we're all going to have our chances to stand in the breach. So we have to lift each other up, pray for each other, especially leaders. I mean, they're really out there, visible. So we pray for our priests, especially our divine will priests. I mean, look what their job is. Yeah. So
it's immense. It's everything.
It is immense.
And once we recognize that, I think it helps shed things in a different light. Again, I'm trying to be as gentle as I can here, but you know, it's very serious stuff because, you know, the Vatican's watching. The Vatican has already made comments about, you know, there are certain groups that made display cult-like advances and sort of following, and, you know, things like this, the things that are not natural, they're not Christian, they're not Catholic. And very easy to drift into those lanes and not recognize, you know, it's like being sleepy on the highway. You're in the other lane, but you need someone to blow the horn. So again, you don't curse the person that blew the horn because now it helped correct you. You say, thank you. But that's not usually our first impulse. And again, also when even, you know, priests, they're going to be corrected also. Everyone's going to be corrected. Everyone except God. And we have to be really thankful for that because again, it's easy to drift and not realize that we're drifting. And we pray that somebody, you know, draws it to our attention also, if and when we begin to do that.
I think humility is critical, to be humble.
Yes.
The church is in the passion now. So we follow the church in humble prayer and, you know, we don't always have to give our, what we think. I used to be like that. Oh, I have to, everyone wants to know what I think. Well, not really. I'm like, oh, they don't. And then I was a lot safer when I was just, you know, speech is great, but silence is greater. Yeah. But I think if we stay in humble prayer, Satan can't get at us as quickly and as easily.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah, the more we fluff up our balloon, fill it with air, it gets burst, the farther we fall.
That's
so
right.
Stay low to the ground, just hover over the enemy and just do our work. But after speaking about St. Hannibal and St. Padre Pio, this is where this continues. And again, this is April 7th, 1899 from Volume 2. And we can continue here, Maureen, please.
Okay. By occupying myself with the pains of Jesus, I forgot about my own a little bit. And so I started from his head on how harrowing it was to see those thorns so sunk into his flesh that one could not pull them out. While I was doing that, Jesus would lament, so great was the pain that he suffered. After I pulled that crown of thorns off, all broken, I put it together again, and knowing that the greatest pleasure one can give Jesus is to suffer for him, I took it, and I drove it into my head.
Okay. I think this in of itself is just enough that we need that whenever we feel maybe in a situation where we feel like we're violated or somebody's made. I mean, I've had 2 weeks from hell, I'll be honest with you, from all sides. And it's been relentless. But the beautiful thing about it is when we think about the pains of Jesus, think about the God who accepted these pains on behalf of us. And how can we ever even closely resemble what he suffered with any suffering we have? So again, fight that impulse. I had the impulse to what? Yeah. Forgive them, Lord. They know that what they do. There'll be a diabolical disorientation. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. Okay. But your point is perfect, Maureen. It's the humility. Because this whole mess could have been avoided with just a simple, I apologize. That wasn't proper. I didn't know. I wasn't aware. Anything like that. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And that's what that's what's got both, you know, just going a little bit crazy. But yeah, it could have been resolved. And again, think about that also. Conflict resolution is usually the most effective when it's done almost immediately or right after whatever incidents happen. You know, we need to evaluate it. Just think about it. And if I have any part that maybe even insinuated or maybe even may appear that I've done some wrong, then I think we ought to apologize for that, even if we don't recognize it fully. I'm not saying give a phony apology, but again, it takes two to fight. I don't care who you are. It takes two people to fight. If it's a fight, there's two of you involved, whether it's physical, whether it's verbal, whether it's spiritual, emotional, it doesn't matter. There's two involved. So we have to just make amends for whatever we did do or didn't do, and then move on. Because, you know, like you said also earlier, I think you should be facilitating the show, Maureen. I think all the advice you gave is perfect. I'm just blah, blah in between. But that's really what it is. It's the humility. Mm-hmm. And it's not losing our gaze in God. Because remember, we learned Peter took his gaze off God. He sank. Adam took his gaze off God. He was disobedient. Mm-hmm. They both, in those both scenarios, the phrases used took their gaze off God. So we can learn from this. Poor Adam and Eve, they had no one to learn from. They had no one to fell before them to say, I'll make sure I don't do that. No, they had nobody. Mm-hmm. We do. And that's why Jesus said, I have everything in place so that you cannot fail. You have someone to reflect. You have something to bounce off of. You have something in history, in our catechism, in the patristics, in the doctors, in the fathers, in the magisterium. It's somewhere in our Catholic faith. And that's why it's so important to stay Catholic. So St. Cyril of Jerusalem said, when things get difficult, flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, and never leave the church. Great, great advice. That's why he's a doctor of the church.
Yeah.
Anything else, Brian?
No, I just think this is good practice because I'm positive, but I'm just saying it's good practice because it's going to keep, there's things going to come our way that are surprising and disappointing. Yeah. Whatever life brings us. And so we have to keep constant and keep living in the divine will. And if you can't read and you can't have sentences, that's okay, because you get in the car. Jesus, drive with
Absolutely.
Me. Jesus, breathe with me. He needs a place to pour out his love. Here we are, Jesus. Increase my capacity. Increase my capacity to take you to the world or to bring your kingdom. Like, we have to just keep in that mindset. That's what I think. I think it's time for all other knowledges to go by the wayside and just concentrate on this. You know, I think it's good practice. Get ready. It's only
that's
just
true.
Begun.
That's true. You know, retrain the brain. And that's a program actually that helped my son has autism. That helped him write his name. I mean, 4 years of schooling, they couldn't write his name. My wife got together. She could bought the CD, retrain the brain. How you know, these are for stroke victims, elderly stroke victims, to help them regain their coordination. And within a couple of days, he's writing his name. So retrain the brain. And I think that's good for us adults also.
Well, that word attentive, how many times is it? Be attentive. Be faithful
be attentive.
And attentive. I mean,
constant.
Yes, that's important.
And how do you become attentive? Or maybe not attentive. How do you become constant? By doing it over and over again.
Yeah, by doing
so that
it
hopefully
over and
it
over
becomes
again.
Second nature. And then the second nature will evolve into our nature. And then that nature is who we become. That's that.
Yeah.
I think that transmutation. And again, Jesus is doing it from the inside out. Because that's going to perfect it. Remember, the body expresses the soul. So if we don't fix that first, I mean, for 2,000 years, the church has done a great job. But I think approaching it from trying to change us from the outside in, and it was sort of getting stuck through some of the stuff, especially with me. And now God says, no, I'm going inside. And just like St. Louis de Montfort said, this is an event, an epic that nobody can stop. This is underground wiring. It doesn't matter how windy it is up on top of the world. This is all underground. The only one that can stop this, and I really believe this, is us. And as long as we say, I'm not going to stop this, then it's not going to stop with us, no matter what goes on around us.
And I think too, when we want to say something, or maybe we just want to tell somebody off, or we want to say something uncharitable. The Blessed Mother says, "How to be successful." She doesn't use the word successful, but I don't know what she uses, a beautiful word, of course. She says, "Pretend it's just you and Jesus in the world." That's how she wants us to live. So we could actually just like talk to him all day. I think that's what he wants.
It's true.
And it doesn't have to be beautiful, flowery, holy things. It could be, "Jesus, can you believe that they just said this to me? Or can you help me with this?" Or, all the things that are hard in our life. Talk to him, let him help you. And then there'll be a lot less mean things said, and gossip, and things that are hurtful, and the words that are like feathers falling out of the balcony into the air.
No, you're right. And
I
you
mean,
mentioned our Blessed Mother, and I'm so sorry, and I apologize. I didn't mention her earlier. But if you think about it, what was it? It was her silence that was so powerful.
that's right.
Remember in the City of God, Blessed Mary
Yes.
Agreda, the demons had their first opportunity to I guess be with the Blessed Mother, and they were just trying to overflatter her. They were trying to knock her humility out. They're, "Oh, beautiful Virgin! Oh, most holy!" All this other nonsense. I mean, they were doing. I'm saying nonsense because they were doing it for nefarious reasons. And she just remained quiet, and she didn't entertain. She didn't deny. She didn't do anything. And then
Didn't take the
eventually,
bait.
they said, "Let's go back to hell because it's less painful in hell than it is with this holy woman." So I think we can learn from her silence. And if anyone says, "Well, I don't know if I can emulate the Blessed Mother, I have to serve God." Yes, but what does our catechism say about our Blessed Mother? Article 507, quote, "At once Virgin and Mother, Mary is the symbol, and the perfect realization of the Church," end quote. That's our example. Every time, no failing, she brings us closer to her Lord, to her Son. Guaranteed. It's all there. We just have to trust, especially in our Blessed Mother.
And I think about the Blessed Mother, how much she knows. I mean, she's the mind of God, right? And whenever she comes to the apparitions, she could tell us so much, but she doesn't. She always says the same thing: pray, fast, love, all the same messages all the time, and so we can take a lesson from that. And I say, if somebody says to you, "Oh, I heard such and such about the divine will," "Oh, I hadn't heard that. Put an end to it." It's like, this is our family. This is the divine will family. And we have to just like let it kind of drift away. We don't want it to perpetuate and have people say, "Oh, I heard this," or, "These are my brothers, these are my sisters." And you just say, "Oh, I hadn't heard. See ya, have to go." You know what
But
I mean? Like, I don't think everybody always needs to have an exclamation. Who are we? We don't know. We
yeah,
just,
that's true. But you mentioned we are a family.
we are.
And think about it, where are the most disturbing disturbing situations are most disturbing when they happen in the family?
And they are happening in families all over
Yeah,
the world.
yeah, yeah. When something in the family it goes wrong, there's a conflict in the family. Nothing is worse than that.
That's right.
And God and the other side knows that. So again, the attacks on us are going to be probably with our family. We're probably experiencing it already, because again, that's going to be the best opportunity for he or it to throw us off our game, and we have to make sure that we again watch our weakness. That's what when Jesus says, the two greatest thing I can do is I can give you knowledge of God and I can give you knowledge of yourself. Because if we know our weaknesses, if we acknowledge them, we know where to look.
That's right.
Okay, I'm weak on
Half
my
the
right.
battle.
I'm not going to be preoccupied, but I'm going to look over, because if he's going to come here. I'm going to stop it right away, because we have the power. Call out Jesus, call out our Blessed Mother,
That's
and
right.
they stop. So we have everything we need. And remember,
Yeah, we
grace
do.
anticipates the soul. So if we don't feel we have it right now, that's okay. We will have it when we need it. Maybe not before, maybe not after, but we will have it. Okay. I'd like to, if we can finish this out here,
Okay.
Maureen, without me interrupting you.
Then he had me kiss his wounds one by one. And in some of them, he wanted me to suckle the blood. I was trying to do everything he wanted, though in mute silence. There you go, Peter, the silence. When the Most Holy Virgin came and told me, "Ask Jesus what he wants to make of you," I would not dare, but Mama encouraged me to do it. To make her content, I drew my lips near the ear of Jesus, and in a whisper I said to him, What do you want to make of me? And he answered, I want to make of you an object of my satisfactions. And in the very act of saying these words, he disappeared, and I found myself inside myself.
Okay. Just take that, I want to make of you an object of my satisfactions. And then think about that silly analogy we just spoke about, we talked about God looking down on his poor children in exile and being more moved by them than the blessed in heaven. Because the blessed in heaven do what they do without suffering and off the record, basically because they have to. I mean, of course they want to, but during this exile, on this journey, we're doing it voluntarily. We're giving our fiat every step of the way. Every obstacle we face, every time we're knocked down, every time we're pushed from behind, we're still saying fiat. And he says, I cannot take my gaze off you. So I think all of this, I think, is painting a really, really rosy picture. Not to worry about all these things that are going on, not to ignore them, because it's important. And again, we may have to realign ourselves, if we feel that that's what we need to do. But remember also, I truly believe this, the ultimate teachers are our Blessed Lord and our Blessed Lady. And there are other gifts that God has given us with souls that are going to help us along this journey and are going to help shine light on different aspects of these gifts and graces that God has given us. But those are the ones that are the ultimate teachers. And therefore, there's nobody that we have to rely on that has the potential to let us down. I'm not saying that they would do it intentionally, they want to do it, but there's no letdown, zero. Right. So we really have no risk. The only one that can ruin this, mess this up, is me.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it occasionally. But I ask for the grace of God to get stronger, to acknowledge my weaknesses, and to sort of fortify them. Because again, we've talked about this too. You can't rely on your drinking buddies to say, hey, Pete, you're drinking too much. Or you can't, oh, I don't drink, but you can't rely on your golfing buddies to say, you know what, Pete, you're golfing too much. Well, I don't even golf. But again, you're not going to hear it from that crowd. You're going to have to identify it yourself to come to the realization that there's something that needs to be changed. And that's worked for me. I'm still a long way from getting there, but I think I finally found the right road. It only took me 62 years sort of navigating the right road, I think, I hope. I pray. Any closing thoughts, Marie?
No. I don't have anything else.
Okay. Yeah, me either. I'll end with a couple of quotes. And since we're on our Blessed Mother, and I can't stop talking about her, as you can tell behind me. Is the video still on? Yeah. But I want to mention also that Radio Maria tomorrow at 11 a.m. for anyone who's available. Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters. I think we have the sisters from Italy with us, and it's so nice when they start to let loose. And Sister Francesca, and they're really. Oh, and there's two new sisters in Tennessee. One
Jeez.
Is apostolate, and the other one I think is still discerning. But they gave such great divine will witnesses. If you listen to the on fiatradio.org, our sister website, there's an audio of the seneca we had, and they were so. I mean, I'm going to say, I'm listening to these. Huh? It's like they've been journeying for 20 years. But again, Jesus says, it's not how much time we've been journeying. I've been in it for 50 years. No, it's not that. It's what have you done with what I've given you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, grace anticipates the soul, but also we must remember, don't outpace grace.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know, that gets me in trouble. Okay, I'd like to end with these. We mentioned about the Catechism 507, at once Virgin Mother, and Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the Church. She also says, in day 14 of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, she says, quote, therefore, have courage, my child. Now, she's speaking to Louisa, but she's speaking to us also through Louisa. Therefore, have courage, my child. Tell me that you desire to live in the divine will, and your mother will provide for you in all things. Day 14. Now, do you think she's kidding? Do you think she's being insincere? Do you think she doesn't have the capability, the capacity to do what she says? Oh, she does, and she will. Remember when Jesus closes the door to heaven, our Blessed Mother's so busy opening up the windows because she wants all her children with her son. And last but not least, our Blessed Lord reemphasizes, this is in meditation number 6, also in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. This is our Blessed Lord speaking about his mother. And he says, quote, "If you want graces and miracles, go to my mother, as I will never deny her anything she asks of me."
Unbelievable. And this is God speaking. I mean, it's great. You know what I mean? It's like, think about what he just said. He's God.
Okay.
And he, you know, and he's saying, go to my mother. How wonderful is his mother? I mean, and our mother
and
too.
With all this beautiful stuff just bulging out, we're arguing and talking about nonsense that's distracting us. I mean,
distracting.
Some things were terrible that were done, yeah, but again, I think our first reflex, maybe without thinking, is to push down on other heads to get us to the top. But I think that's more of a survival of the fittest type of mentality. That's not Christian. I think it was an error. I do. I really believe that. So remember, use the jet stream collectively with each other to help each other get to the surface faster. But we can't push on other people's heads to get them lower down or make their journey to the top more difficult than it ought to be. I think that might just be foolishness, but I just some things I thought about. Anyway, Maureen, thanks be to God for this opportunity. Thank
Thank you,
everyone.
Peter.
Oh, I know we don't have much time, but I keep saying this, and I really feel bad because I don't give the opportunity. But I'm. If you have to drop off, Maureen, I understand. But if anyone would like to unmute themselves and say anything they like, you know, you may. You don't have to, but you can.
Thank you guys for always being there for us.
Oh, well, now we support each other. And I mean that. I know I'm speaking for Maureen. We support each other.
Yeah.
Because when we're having those dry days, this helps us. Yeah, this helps us.
Yeah,
you know, I've only been known of this gift for, it'll be 6 months tomorrow, but without you and Maureen and the sisters,
you'd be much more advanced. I know.
No, I would be lost.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll take you down some alleys too. Well, that's very encouraging. But what we try to do is we try to bring this really, I think, the way it was meant, just very simplistically. We're going to learn into detail. We're going to learn into deeper extents, but I think that's a personal thing. Like if somebody wants to understand, what does it mean that I want to make you an object of my satisfaction? If someone wants to really drill down that and has the time to do that, that's great. And then hopefully share the information with others. But I clearly don't have the time to go any further than that. I mean, that's adequate for what I need, more than adequate. I understand to whatever extent I understand what is meant by that. And I just want to read more. And I remember what Jesus said. Remember this? I think it was Louisa was praying the hours of the Passion. And I think she was on the sixth hour or so. Someone will correct me. And she says, "Oh, Jesus, I love this one so much. I just want to stay here like forever." And he says, "No, come on, move on. There's much more I've got to show you." So that's also, I think, our journey as well. He's got much to show us.
And he says a lot of times, run.
Yeah, run.
You know, like he's come on, let's, you know, it just has this urgency, like, don't waste any time. Don't look at other things. Let's listen to what I'm saying to you. You know, like you take a teenager and I used to take my teenagers and I say, look at my mouth, read my lips. Are you listening? I feel like that's what Jesus is saying. Listen to what I'm telling you. And then every little word that you read in Divine Will is exactly what it means. He doesn't mince words. He doesn't say thing and mean something else. If he's saying these things that are unbelievable, they're true.
Yeah.
And that's how we have to read it.
Yeah.
Even if we don't understand it. You know, like when the apostles first received communion, do you think they totally understood it? But they kept going and they kept receiving and they kept, that's how I see this. You keep reading and you keep praying and little by little, you know, you can't say bingo, I got it. No, but it's the greatest thing. And isn't it wonderful that we're on this road learning the greatest thing that ever existed? I mean, I feel thrilled, like, wow.
Oh, it's unbelievable. It's It's absolutely unbelievable.
I just want to say thank you to both of you. This is just so wonderful. And I think Maureen had such a good point about focusing on this and just to continue going forward and not get sidetracked with whatever may be happening, you know. Mm-hmm. And because this Book of Heaven is just so amazing. And what's so exciting about it is that, like you said, it isn't how long you've been in it, because this Book of Heaven is forever new. It's forever new. And it's that's what makes it so exciting. And you don't get tired of it because it's forever new.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you know, if it did depend on how long you've been in it, then that would, I think, fall into the category of being merit-based. And this is not merit-based. This is a gift.
Oh, good point, yeah.
It's a gift. It's a mystical gift that, again, is not given equally like our baptismal gifts. It's given unequally, actually. It's based on God's good pleasure. He gives it to whomever he pleases, when he pleases, to what extent he does. It's a gift. Now, once we receive the gift, then our work, and I think we've got some obligations to do. Do we really want this? Prove it. I mean, here's the Book of Heaven. If you have 15 minutes a day, are you going to use that 15 minutes for this, for me, or are you going to use it on something else? So again, I think we get to that certain, and I think we're all there now. We've all been introduced. And like Father Brown said when he first came, he looked around. First thing he said out of his eyes, he says, okay, well, if anyone wants to lead this divine will right now, you better do it now because you're all in too deep. And he said that with a big, big smile. I think we're all in right now, too deep. I think, yeah, we're going to have our bumps, but I think every time, like Jesus says, every opposition, it's like somebody dimming the light in the room. He says, don't worry about that. Mm-hmm. Because he says, basically, I'm paraphrasing. He says, because when the room is dimmer, when the light of the world finally does come in and people recognize it, it'll be that much, not more easily recognized. Because think about it. When you're in a dark room, you're squinting, the lights come on, you can barely, it's going to be illuminated beyond our wildest dream. He says, but let the room get dark. He said, it got dark in my humanity. It's going to get dark along this journey. And again, I'm paraphrasing. Mm. So yeah. We can't be dismayed. And again, two steps forward, one step back.
And we got something even greater to look forward to, that he's going to get bring us even deeper into this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a guarantee. We're never going to have it 100%. We're always going to be getting closer and closer. And the great thing is that we're doing it hopefully all together, all in heaven, and all for eternity. Eternity is an awful long time. But this is what this is what we strive for. This is why we're born. This is really why we're born. And I think when we think about that, it makes these other issues that we think are important really frivolous. I mean, I'm not saying shun responsibility, but nothing should dissuade us from moving forward in this gift. No matter what it is, nothing. Because look what Jesus experienced. Everything. He experienced things we're never going to. He was God, and he accepted it. We can never be God and accept this. So whatever, we're not God, and we will accept it. It may not be easy at first, but we have to accept everything. Because again, he says, what did he say to Luis and to us? He says, the more you experience the cross, it's just an expression of how much I love you. So the more we suffer, the more he loves us. Doesn't that sound like a paradox?
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. Because how do we get closer to, how do we gravitate closer to our Lord? We have to share in his suffering. And the greatest way to do that, I think, is the hours of the Passion, which I don't spend enough time on. I'll be honest with you. But I'm going to change that. You've all encouraged me so much. I'm going to change that tonight. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I hope. Pray for me. But sister and mother, tomorrow, 11 a.m., please. And we're going to have, Maureen will be back on Friday for the ebook series, Father Nuzzi's Dissertation, which is an invaluable piece of literature that is approved by the church and can be used in a public setting. And while we wait in hopeful anticipation for the critical edition to be released, we have this already approved. Summary of Luis's writings, along with knowing where in the footnotes to find it. And again, this completes fully that ammunition, that suggestion of the late Archbishop Pacheri, that to have a priest available when any theological questions may arise during our journey. Father Anise he's already gone through that. He's already explained that. It's in his summary. Again, this has abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval by the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which many popes have gone through, which is authorized by the Holy See. So when the Pontifical Gregorian University said, We approve. The Holy See was saying we approve also. So nobody can say you can't use that book. I mean, they could say it, but they shouldn't. So we have everything we need. And God just, he's letting out this line very slowly. Now he's bringing us up. Remember, if you come up from the bottom, if you're scuba diving, not that I'm a scuba diver, if you come up too fast, you get the bends, you can actually die. So he's bringing us up slowly, little by little. But he says, I won't let go of the rope. Make sure you don't let go of the rope. So all we have to worry about is not letting go of the rope. And he's pulling. We're not paddling ourselves up. He's pulling us up. Just don't let go of the rope.
Yeah.
And I got to tell myself that more than anyone else. Okay, great. Well, thank. Sorry, I kept everyone later, but great evening,
hey.
Morning, afternoon, and this is it. This is it. This is for everything. This is our life, and we're so blessed. Really, we are so blessed. Nothing can change. Yeah, we're gonna have up and downs. I mean, that's gonna happen. But we have to remember we're blessed.
I've been waiting for this all my life.
I'm sorry.
I've been waiting for this song my life.
What a song?
No, I've been waiting for the divine will all of my life, and I didn't even knew it.
Oh, well, that's nice.
I think you're going to be, I think in your lifetime, we're going to see something spectacular. I don't know what exactly, but things are revving up. And you can tell by just by the attacks alone, that's an indication that we're getting close. But you know what? We have an opportunity right now to journey in faith. And Jesus says there's nothing greater than faith. Faith is God, he says in volume two. And every time there's a healing, it's your faith that's healed you. So we're looking forward to that faith and growing in this gift and faith. And because again, once the church gives its final stamp of approval, I have to think that some of that faith is going to be converted to obedience. Well, we believe because the church says we should believe. Well, now we're doing it out of pure faith. Jesus loves that because by sending a faithful fiat to him, we're saying, I trust you. I believe in you. I have confidence in you. I know you can do this. That's all he wants to hear. That's what a father or a mother wants to hear from their children, any children.
Mm-hmm.
It's also great.
I think we have to just one
yeah.
more thing. I just
yeah,
what came to me is we have to remember we're still in time, and we can do so many things in time. Once we go into eternity, it's done. So every day is a gift and a valuable gift where we can bring the kingdom down, save some soul, whatever. I mean, we have the gift of being in time right now, and we won't always have that. So. Make the most of your days. Be faithful and attentive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aquinas told us, friend of the great book, Paul Marino, I've heard that. Aquinas told us that when the end of time comes, it comes instantly.
Yeah.
It comes without warning. And then again, our opportunity is gone to do what we can do now, crossing the exile with all the ups and downs, all the obstacles. Remember, we can learn two things from those, again, from the past where Adam didn't, Eve didn't. The saints, if they had a regret, they said they regretted not having more time alive mm-hmm. in order to suffer because they recognized the value of suffering. The souls in purgatory expressed through approved mystics that if they had to do things all over again, they would have made better use of time,
mm-hmm.
not to use the time frivolously. Both of these we can use as perfect examples of what to do and what not to do. And again, Adam didn't have this, Eve didn't have this. So when Jesus says, I waited 6,000 years so that I had everything in place, somewhere for you to go to strengthen you, to keep you hydrated along this journey through the desert. I gave you everything, but we have to ask for it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I made all of creation mute because I want to hear the creature
oh.
ask. He loves our voice. And can you imagine how mm-hmm. I look? I say, oh my goodness, how often I misuse my words, my blessed Lord. I'm so sorry. But he wants us to ask for it. So the four things, right? State of grace. We must have an upright intention, want this for God first. Ask for the gift. What's the fourth one? State of grace, upright intention, ask for the gift. Oh, ardent desire. We must really want this. Not just, I want this. I really want this. And God knows, it's not what we say. It's how we feel. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us want this. We wouldn't be moseying here past our time on a Wednesday. So appreciate all that. But again, we need each other to do this. It's individual. It's an individual advancement, but we need each other for mm-hmm. support. I really think we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice having a little small family like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love everyone.
Okay, Peter. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye,
thank
everybody.
You so much.
Bye. See you later.
Bye. Love everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Love you guys.